Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you holding up? How are you doing? What's going on with you? This show is like no other. We focus exclusively on those who are pushing the wheelchair, those who are staying up late at night doing laundry, or back and forth to the doctor's office, rehab, whatever. There's so many different tasks, there's so many different scenarios, but there's always a caregiver. Wherever there's a chronic impairment, there is a caregiver. Could be that you're taking care of somebody who is aging. Maybe you've got a special needs child. Maybe you have somebody with trauma in their life, somebody with a mental illness, somebody with an addiction, or somebody who's an alcoholic. Whatever the chronic impairment, there's always a caregiver, and we're glad that you're with us today. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show, and we'd love to have you. All right, I got a couple of things today. I like to start off with some kind of trivia, some kind of to test you on. I've found that you guys are a lot faster on the draw than I expect sometimes on these things, and that's very cool. That's exciting that you guys know these things, but I'd like to see if I can push the line even more to see if you could get this. So, you know I like to play hymns, and that's been a big part of my life, and I love the hymns, and I like to try to you know, update them a little bit and introduce them to a new audience and play them in a way, hopefully, that the old audience really likes. And so I pull these things out and see if you can remember what this hymn is, if you know this lyric. And there's a kind of a two-part on this one, because I have a psalm that touches base with this. And in this psalm, it says, "When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are joyful." Anybody know what psalm that is? If you know what psalm that is, 888-589-8840. And on that same theme, and I love that, by the way, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting." Do we have enough laughter as caregivers? We got plenty of tears. Do you laugh? Do you cut up? Do you find humor? You know, I'm in my 35th year as a caregiver, and if I didn't have laughter, man, I don't know what we do. And I've made Gracie, like, explosively laugh at times. And that's not an easy thing to do when you're dealing with all the kind of stuff we deal with. And I remember when she got the coronavirus. She was the first one in our county out here in Montana where we live. And this is way back at the beginning of March. And she had gotten it evidently from going to a specialist to get her legs worked on. And she has two prosthetic legs, for those of you new to the audience. And Gracie's had about 80 surgeries that I can count. But she had we thought she'd had strep, and that's what it looked like. And never dreamed she'd have coronavirus. We're out in the middle of nowhere in Montana. And so they wanted her to come down to the local community hospital. And they said, and Gracie's got like 103 fever, and you know, she's pretty sick. She doesn't feel good at all. And we didn't know that this was coronavirus or anything. We didn't know. But the nurse was like, "Do you have a mask?" And for whatever reason, because I'm just that kind of goofy, I said, "Well, we have a Darth Vader mask, but that's kind of personal, don't you think?" And the nurse started laughing. Gracie started laughing. And she had a fever. We're dealing with all this other stuff. I mean, you know, it's just, for whatever reason, I grew up in a large family. I have four brothers and a sister. And sarcasm was our native tongue, it seemed like, for us. And my mother, now my dad, they're listening. Hopefully, I just got off the phone with them trying to help them stream on the show on Alexa. And I go through this pretty much on a regular basis with them. So I'm just making fun of y'all, mom and dad. But dad loves to laugh, and my dad's a minister. He's a naval officer, and he loves to laugh, but that's not really his thing. I mean, he's not known for his witty repartee, but my mother comes from Irish stock, and she is just, you know, we love to banter. And it's a lot of fun at my house. And I grew up with that. And I think that sustained me through a lot of things as a caregiver, that we had this ability to laugh. And when I met Gracie, she was a pretty serious young lady, and she took herself pretty seriously. She was dealing with serious realities. Well, you know, again, I grew up in rural South Carolina with a large family of boys and my one sister. And my sister's just as wild as the rest of us. And we laugh. Do you laugh? And I end up helping. I taught Gracie how to laugh. I mean, you know, Gracie's got a great sense. And when she does laugh, she laughs like a drunk Viking sometimes. I mean, she just belly laughs in places. And I've seen her do it on live TV and everything else. Do you laugh as a caregiver? If you don't, maybe today's the day you can start. I did a whole thing. When I started doing the show years ago, Jeff Foxworthy, you all know him, and he told me, he said, look, Peter, make them laugh. You know more than most how important it is for people to have that pressure valve release of laughter as a caregiver. Do you laugh? And so when I started doing the show, I set out to have some fun with it. And I know that what we deal with is serious. Okay, I know that. You're not going to tell me something I don't know on that one, okay? We deal with serious realities in my life. But is there room for laughter? And in this particular passage of Scripture, and if you know it, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are joyful. And there's a wonderful hymn that pulls that particular passage out. Maybe you know this one too, because I'm waiting on somebody to know who knows that particular passage of Scripture. Maybe you know this one. And give him the glory, great things he hath done. You know that one? Do you know that one? You know that hymn? Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Do you know that the Lord has done great things for you? Do you know this? Do you laugh? If you know this, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. It's a two-part trivia. I'll take the psalm. If you know the psalm, I just gave it away. If you know the psalm, I'll give you a hint. It's in Psalms. And then if you know the hymn. And if you got a hymn that you like, by the way, I won't play Stump the Band here this morning, but if you got a hymn that's particularly meaningful, I'll try to play it for you. I think I am the only live radio show in the country that has a keyboard hooked up to play. But I love the hymns, I love music, and I love to also laugh. And Gracie and I we live life large. You know, life is worth living. This is our life. It came to me a long time ago that, you know, we don't wait for this to get better before we can start living a joyful, exciting life. This is our life. So we're going to make the best of it and have joyful moments and laughter in the midst of it. How about you? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. If you know that passage in Scripture, or if you know the hymn, or if you got another hymn you want to hear, give me a call. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
...24/7 emergency support. Increasing safety, reducing isolation. These things are more important than ever as we deal with the challenges of COVID-19. How about your vulnerable loved ones? We can't always check on them or be there in ways we'd like. That's why there's Constant Companion, seamlessly weaving technology and personal attention to help push back against the isolation while addressing the critical safety issues of our vulnerable loved ones and their caregivers. Constant Companion is the solution for families today. Staying connected, staying safe. It's smart, easy, and incredibly affordable. Go to www.mycompanion247.com today. That's mycompanion247.com. Connection and independence for you and those you care about. mycompanion247.com.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger, and in my 3 decades as a caregiver, I have spent my share of nights in a hospital trying to sleep in waiting rooms, on fold-out cots and chairs, and even the floor. You know, as caregivers, we have to sleep in uncomfortable places, but we don't have to be miserable. Do what we're doing in my home by using pillows from MyPillow.com. These things are great. They have a patented interlocking fill that adjusts to your individual sleep needs, and for caregivers trying to sleep in a hospital room chair, believe me, our individual sleep needs get ramped up significantly. You know, I've never liked taking pillows from home to the hospital with me because I never felt like I could get them clean again. But with pillows from MyPillow.com, you can throw them in the washer and dryer. They got a 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, 60-day money-back guarantee. They're made in the USA. As a caregiver, you need rest. So start by going to MyPillow.com, type in the promo code CAREGIVER, and get 50% off the 4-pack, which includes 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. You'll receive a discount on anything else on the website when using your promo code CAREGIVER. That's MyPillow.com, promo code CAREGIVER.
'Cause with Jesus, I can take it. Oh, with Him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in Your hand.
You are hateous to talk over my wife like that. Listen to her sing, man. That is my life. Get it, girl. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We're glad that you're with us. I remember the first time we were, she sung that song. This is on her CD, Resilient. If you want to copy that, go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com. Be a part of the show. Support what we're doing here. We'll send you a copy of that CD. It's a great CD, and you'll love it. But I remember she was singing this at an event many, many years ago. First time I think she sung it live. And we had a band up there with her, and this was at an event we're doing over at Duke University. It was a big fundraiser for the Children's Hospital that Jeff Foxworthy and his wife Greg had asked us to come to. And Greg, I mean, Jeff came up to us afterwards, and Gracie's up there just singing this thing. I mean, just wailing on it. And this during the rehearsal, and he came up and told Gracie, he said, Gracie, when you were singing it, I was just crying. I'm not talking tears. I had snot. I just thought that was the funniest thing. And, you know, do you laugh? Okay. This is what the show is all about today. Jeff and I did a whole bit on, you might be a caregiver if, that was hilarious. Like if, you know, and I asked him if he'd do it with me, and he said, sure, write out some jokes. And I said, these aren't jokes. This is my life. And one of them was, if you've ever hooked up your dog to your wife's wheelchair just to see if it would work, which I have done that. I have actual footage of that, you know, and of course she's a double amputee, and Jeff got me on one that I just busted out. It was, if anybody's ever seriously, let me see if I can imitate Jeff. If anybody's ever seriously asked you, baby, have you seen my left leg? You're probably a caregiver. And so it was a lot of fun. Do you laugh as a caregiver? 888-589-8840. Somebody knew my song this morning, and I'm going to go to them because they're from South Carolina, which is where I'm from. So I thought I'd go to, is it Rhonda? Is it Rhonda?
Rinda.
Rhonda, you with us? Rinda.
Yes.
Sorry Rinda. About that.
Hey.
Sorry, I got to wear my glasses. Where are you from in South Carolina?
Flat Florence.
Florence.
What county
is that? Is that Marion County?
It's Florence County.
Florence County.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I was born and raised in Anderson. You know where that is?
Upstate. Yes, sir.
Upstate. Yes. Up there near Clemson. Everybody knows where Clemson is. How are things in Florence today?
Well, I just want to connect with To God Be the Glory, which I know those words and love that upbeat, all those old hymns. Thank God My grandmother, my mother's mother, was a graceful, believing person, and my mother claims to be, but she's having a terrible time because of the lack of joy in giving care to my dad, who is a sweet little four and a half year old type, heavily into Alzheimer's, and my mother is refusing all help. All help. So she's backed in a corner and sticking to it, and that is the way that a lack of joy happens. So I just
Let me ask you a question.
Anybody?
Let me ask you a question. By the way, you know the hymn. Do you know who wrote the hymn?
Oh no, maybe Fanny Crosby or somebody. I'm driving. Well, I'm sorry. I would have looked it up.
No, don't look it up. You gotta know these things off the top of your head. Anybody could Google it. Keep your hands
hands
on the wheel, by the way. 10-2.
Yeah. I'm good.
But Fanny Crosby, you can't go wrong if you guess Fanny Crosby. She wrote 10,000 hymns, so you can't go wrong with trying it. But that may be my all time favorite hymn. And I love this. The vilest offender who truly believes the moment from Jesus a pardon receives. I love that. The vilest. I can't even hardly get through it. When I'm singing that song and playing it, I can't even hardly get through that line. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And when you've seen your own vileness, that hymn grabs you. Do you think your mother would accept some help maybe from me?
I would be shocked if she did.
If I sent her a copy of my book? If I sent her a copy of my book, do you think she'd accept it?
She has a lot of books. She has.
Does she like music?
She won't turn the Fox radio station off. She will not.
Well, that's not music, but
it's a hard case.
Because I have a CD. She is a hard case.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what? I would still like to send her a copy of the book. She may. It's very easy to read. I don't even know a lot of big words, so it's a real easy book to read.
If I'd known I was going to be
a writer, I would have probably paid a little bit more attention in class. I graduated, thank you, Laudie. And I remember when the first book I did, I turned in the manuscript and a sucker came back with so much red ink on it, I thought it had been stabbed. You know, and the editor said, you know, we're going to need some work here with you, buddy. So I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send you a copy, get to your address, and I'm going to get you a copy of my book. It's called Hope for the Caregiver. And just give it to your mother and tell her it's from me and say, look, here's this knucklehead. Does she live in South Carolina, too?
She does. We're 2 miles apart. Yes.
Well, then we speak the same language. If I could, I'd send her some boiled peanuts. But it's just tell her it's just some knucklehead from South Carolina who's been doing this a long time and wanted her to have a copy of this book. And would she just take a moment to read it? It's episodic. It's not linear that you got to sit down and read the whole thing in one stretch. You could open up to any page and there's something on it. And there's things that are that are hilarious in it. And there's things, but it's not a how to, because I don't tell you or anybody else how to take care of their loved one. But what I do point to is what gives us that anchoring so that, like the scripture says, then our mouths can be filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting, even in the midst of great sorrow, even while tears are flowing down our eyes. So I'm going to put you on hold, and Sherry's going to get your information here, if that's okay. Is that all right?
Thank you. That is very good, and you just made my day.
We Carolinians, you know, South Carolina born, South Carolina bred. When we die, we'll be South Carolina dead. So thank you for calling and just sharing this with me. And I'm glad you love this hymn and for getting that. I'm going to put you on hold, so don't go away, and we're going to get your information. Okay. All right, let's see. Linda in Texas. Linda, good morning, Linda. Did you know the scripture?
No, sir. I thought it was 149.
You're close. You missed it. You missed it by just a couple of dozen. You're close, but how are you doing in Texas?
We're doing marvelous. Going in for some surgery here in a little while, but
now who's going in? You or somebody you love or
me.
Taking care of?
Me.
You are. All right.
Yes, sir.
Are you able to share on the air what kind of surgery it is?
Oral.
Oh, man.
I have a lot of problems with my mouth.
Well, tell the oral surgeon you're looking down in the mouth. He'll like that joke.
I'm looking up to the Lord while they're working on it, though.
Well, hopefully you're going to be asleep while they're working on you.
No, sir,
or at least knocked out.
I'll be aware of everything, but I won't be able to do it.
I don't want to be aware of anything when I'm doing when I got people digging around in my mouth. You're braver than I am, and I tell you what, it's going to be all right. You're going to get it all done, and you're going to move on, and hopefully your mouth, as it says, our tongue with joyful shouting in this scripture. But thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry you didn't get it right. Listen, let us know how the surgery goes. You go get this surgery done. Read a psalm. I'm trying to think of what's a good psalm to read before oral surgery. Victory in Jesus. That's a good one to read right before oral surgery. I heard an old story. Listen, I've got to run here. Thank you so much for calling in. Sorry I didn't get right on the psalm, but you're close. You're very, very close.
Yes,
Nancy in Louisiana. Good morning, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know the psalm neither, but I knew the title anyway, but to God be the glory. But I was wondering, is Psalm 91 in a song?
Is Psalm 91 in a song?
In a song, yeah, because I read it every morning so I don't get the coronavirus and I don't get another hurricane. So,
I don't know if reading that psalm will stop the coronavirus, but but I'm glad that you haven't gotten it yet. But you could look at whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, thou, you know, that would be one that would be inspired by that, I would think so. Mighty fortress. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. Well, I would imagine Martin Luther probably had that in mind when he was writing A Mighty Fortress. So how about that? Does that help?
Sounds good. Yes. Thank you very much.
I do the best I can with what I got there, Nancy. I do the best I can.
And you do have God, so that's the best. Anyway.
All right. Well, Nancy, thank you for listening, and thank you for giving a call to the show here. Jason in Arkansas. Jason, we got to go to a quick break. Can you stay on the phone through the break?
Yeah.
All right. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 if you want to be a part of the show. Do you laugh as a caregiver? Do you laugh? You're going to laugh. If you stick around with this show, the next segment here, all right, at some point in here, you're going to laugh. And I want to leave you better than I found you because people have done that for me. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. That is the intro to another track off of Gracie's CD. She and Johnny Erickson Tata singing Because He Lives. Listen to Johnny there. Isn't that wonderful? That is it's a powerful arrangement there. And I remember when I arranged this out, Y'all don't tell anybody what I'm about to tell you, okay? Y'all just keep this twixt us. But I when I arranged this out, I did it because I wanted to slow it down, just get unpack it a little bit. And Johnny called me up. She said, "Now, Peter, is this a little slow?" And I said, "Johnny, just sing the song. You know, I've already got one woman in a wheelchair that argues with me about the song. I don't need two." And now y'all don't tell anybody I just said that, all right? Y'all just keep that twixt us. Nobody has to know. That just stays on this show, okay? Don't say it. I've made Johnny laugh a couple of times. And she doesn't know what to think of me sometimes. But let's see. I want to go back to, is it Jason? Jason in Arkansas. Jason, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
You know, for a man of my age and limited abilities, I think I'm doing all right, Jason. We got brand new snow here. We got several inches of new snow overnight, and it's beautiful outside. It's still a little bit dark here in Montana, but we had a full moon, and then we got all this bright snow around, so it's going to be a beautiful day. What's going on in Arkansas?
I wanted to tell you a joke that my wife told me, and then I'm going to ask you for some advice for her.
I love it when callers call in and tell jokes. Now I had one guy called in that and he told a joke that what and he was a little bit belligerent. I remember this was on this show a while back, and it was it really pushed the line a little bit, and but it wasn't a funny joke. I mean he thought it was funny, but it really wasn't. And I told him, I said, "This doesn't offend me as a Christian. It offends me as a comedian." And so tell me your joke.
Well, my wife came in and said, she said, "So what's the best part about being a 104-year-old lady?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "There ain't no peer pressure."
Okay. That has merits. You're in the ballpark. I'm not so sure that you're up at bat right now, but you're in the ballpark. So that's pretty good, Jason. Well, tell me what's going on with your wife.
I tell dad jokes and she tells mom jokes, and they're not dad jokes. I would say is superior to mom jokes, but anyways, my wife, she's got the biggest heart that I've ever known anybody to have, and she goes into work every day as a CNA, and she's the only one that truly cares about her patients. It seems like because they're there for the money or they're there for. You know, for school or something like that, because they want to be a nurse or something like that in the future. But she's there to provide for her family, so she takes it seriously. And she, you know, she'll go in there and she'll joke around with her patients and everything. And, well, sometimes she'll find her patient, like, laying in a pool of urine or they're deaf almost and they can't hear. So she'll get right up in their ear and talk to them and then back up so that they can see that she's truly listening. And most of the patients that come in there mad, she changes their whole attitude just by her attitude. And I think that that's awesome. And nobody actually takes the time to get on a personal level with these patients. And I was just wondering if there's any kind of advice I could give her about not letting that get to her because of those patients. You know, they're not being treated as well as she would treat them if she could do it all the time.
Two things come to mind. One of them is, first off, I've spent a lot of time in hospitals, and I am very familiar with the work of CNAs. They used to be called orderlies. You know, Gracie was hurt back in 83. So we've been dealing with hospitals for a very, very long time, and we've had some of the best care. And then we've had some that were coming in that was kind of, you know, whatever. I had to kind of monitor some of these things, and it didn't go as well as I'd like. So you can imagine how many nurses, how many CNAs, how many doctors. She's been treated by over 100 doctors. So I get the journey. I have a great deal of regard and respect for CNAs because it is such a difficult job to go in day after day of people who are suffering or people who are needy, and you're doing very menial tasks. Now, if she sees somebody that is not doing their job, certainly there is a path for that to say, okay, look, we need to bring this to the attention of the appropriate people to make sure that people are being treated properly, that they're being cared for with respect and dignity. But as far as other people being perfunctory on it and doing their job, really, that's kind of out of her, that's out of her area. And I would recommend that she just focus on what she's called to do and what she's supposed to do, what her job is, and what she feels in her heart the Lord has her do. You know, she can go in and be a huge source of blessing to so many, and it sounds like she is. And I get that. I've come in many times into my wife's hospital room and seeing her praying with CNAs or singing hymns together. I've done this many times, and those are deeply rewarding things. You'd be amazed at what just a scripture says. You know, a kind word, the heart is made merry, but from this sort of thing, and you'd be amazed at what people can respond to, and even if they're not responsive. I mean, she's going into place into rooms where the patient is probably not responsive very well, but you'd be amazed at what their spirits can hear, and I can bear witness to that with Gracie. So if we had a CNA that had a lousy attitude, for example, we would have them moved. We spent too much time there. This was not a one and done thing with us. This was something that we were back and forth, or Gracie would spend sometimes months in the hospital. So I think that I would, if you ask me my advice, I don't like to give advice a lot because I don't know your situation as well, but I would say this: you fill up your wife with as much scripture and joy, and try to get some better jokes, Jason. I'm just kidding. Those are fun. But you fill up your wife with as much joy as you possibly can. When she comes home at the end of the day, you let her know how important what she does is and how important she is to you. And that's going to give her the wherewithal to draw deep to these people that need to hear joy and ministry and care from her as she does these things. And as long as you keep putting more Jesus into her, she's going to be able to distribute it better to the patients that she sees. And I think that's your job as husband. That's your calling as husband. That is your great blessing as husband to be able to do that. That's how Christ loved the church. That's how Christ loves us, so that we can go out then and extend this. As Paul said, we give thanks to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may go out and give comfort to those who need comfort. And I think that your wife is going to come home, and you know this, she comes home after tough days, and she sees tough things. And as long as she is coming home to a husband who recognizes that and is able to pour into her strength and encouragement, and even jokes, and laugh, and you know, fix her a nice meal, make sure the house is cleaned up. The more you make it so she doesn't have to come home and be a CNA in her own home, I think the better off she's going to be able to do with that. Is that track?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, thank you for the call on that, Jason. And try that and see what happens. And just let her know that from somebody who has been the recipient of a lot of care from CNAs, thank her. I thank her. Okay?
And, I've got one more question for you.
Sure.
For you. How can I get a hold of your book for her? Because she loves to read. And
well, does she like really audiobooks?
No. Oh, well. You don't really have a way of listening to them.
well, that's okay. Well, I got the audiobook. It's wherever books are sold. Wherever books are sold.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Hope for the Caregiver. And I got another one called Seven Caregiver Landmines. You can get it, the Kindle version of it. You can get the print version. It's wherever books are sold. Go out to Amazon, whatever. And you can get that copy for her. And then the audiobook is out there as well for those who like that. And I read the audiobook. I read the whole thing. And if you want to hear me reading the whole thing, then that's for you. If you don't, I could have done it. You know, I should have done it with different impressions reading the book, you know.
That would be awesome.
Well, you're from Arkansas. I could have done it like I remember I was on Mike Huckabee's show, and I was imitating Bill Clinton, and Mike just put his head down on the desk, and he said, "I've known him for 45 years, and you hooked him." And I could have done that. Hey, have y'all been reading my book? This is Hope for the Caregiver. And you know, but I could, but I probably better not do that. Well, so listen, see,
you got to do
some of you guys are already laughing out there. Some of you guys are already laughing. I'm telling you, I'm going to leave you better than I found you. But Jason, thank you so much for the call. And you know what? I tell you what, just the heck with it. Today, I'm just feeling that way to do it. I'm going to give you a copy of it to give to your wife. All right. Just, so hang on, and Sherry's going to get your information, and I'll just send you one. It'll come from Nashville, and we'll have it sent out to you. Because I don't have any of them out here. Hold on a second. I don't think I have any of them out here in Montana. And Gracie and I live in a very tiny little cabin out here where we're trying to figure out what's our next step. And I mean, it's so small you have to eat a large pizza outside. It's cold outside today, so I don't want to do that. But hang on, and we'll get you information. I'll just send you one. All right, hang on just a second. All right, is it Cherie in Arkansas? Cherie.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you said I have to speak slowly because you're having a difficult time processing what I'm saying. Cherie, in my life, I don't think anybody's ever told me to speak slower. I'm from the South.
I have early onset Alzheimer's, and my husband is laying in bed with me. And I wanted to call you.
I will speak slowly. I've got to go to a quick break. Do you know what is that obscure Gaither song that you like so much?
It's called Let Me See Jesus Only by W. Dale Oldham.
Okay, Let Me See Jesus Only. Well, we've got to go to a break. And Cherie, just for you and your husband, I'm going to speak very slowly. Does that help?
Yeah, and I've got the best husband.
Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A popular effort in social revisionism is happening, where racism, which is better described in biblical terms as skin color-based partiality, is a crime of which only people of lighter skin color can be guilty. Let's be clear. Factions, divisions, and dissensions, including those based on skin color, are the fruit of the sinful flesh. The root cause of partiality is sin. Every person, regardless of the quantity of melanin in their skin, is capable of partiality. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees. And that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. I know. The plans.
Thank you for that, Sherry, for playing that for Gracie. I love listening to Gracie sing. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you doing? How are you holding up? If you want to see more about this, go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com. You see the CD from Gracie. If you want to, you click on the book tab for the books, for Gracie's book, my books. the CDs, my CD, Gracie's CD. We got all kinds of stuff out there, and I'd love for you to take advantage of it, listen to it. We got a podcast. We got the podcast is free, and the blog. I mean, and our podcast, by the way, we podcast not only this show, but we do other recordings of it, and it is the number one podcast for caregivers in the world. And go ahead and subscribe on any platform, whether it's Apple or Google Play or iHeartRadio, whatever the platform is. You can podcast our show. We have all kinds of bonus stuff. I put out stuff from Gracie on there. And we'd love to have you be a part of this because we need to be hearing, you know, reinforcements to ourselves. I listen to my own show because I got to hear from somebody with my level of experience, you know, because this is the journey. I'm still a caregiver. And I don't tell people how to do it right. I tell people what I've learned through the process, mostly through failure. And keeping a sense of humor is a big part of it. I had to cut off. We went to a break, and I had to cut off Cherie in Arkansas. But Cherie, tell me again, what was the name of that Gaither 2 that you were talking about?
Let Me See Jesus Only.
Let Me See Jesus Only. I have to go look that one up. Well, listen, you hug your husband.
I can sing it for you.
Well, go ahead. Sing it for me. Just a little bit, because I got other callers I got to get to, but just a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to sing the first verse. I'm dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed I in sin am I, but my heart... Oh, I messed up. I'm sorry.
Is that it?
Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only, let me see, Jesus only.
All right, I'll have to work that up. I'll have to work that up for you. But listen, thank you for introducing that to me, and I heard your husband in there, and you two have a fabulous day. Behave yourselves, and just oh, see. I told you. I mean, look, I'm going to leave you better than I found you, and I want you to laugh because I want us to understand it. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. We are joyful. You know what? We've been already set free. That's the whole point. That's what this song that you just sang is all about. We've been set free. And so I really do appreciate you bringing that to my mind this morning. And thank you so much for sharing. And we've got to take another call here. Shirley in Mississippi. Shirley, good morning.
All right.
How are you feeling, Shirley?
I'm feeling great. But I talked to you only one time, because I accidentally found this program, and I love it, and I've told all kinds of people about it. But today,
we're used to people accidentally finding this program. We're used to that.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'm a hospice volunteer. And, well, I've done all kinds of volunteering. That's been my life. I'm 85 years old, and I'm still doing that kind of thing, except for hospice now. You can hardly go in any place because they got it all locked up. But my husband died several years ago with Alzheimer's. That wasn't a pleasant thing, but I did do the caregiving for 6 years. But anyway, that's not what I want to tell. I want to tell you about my pastor and his wife. And she has just finished, I don't know how many months of therapy. She has cancer, and it's supposed to all be gone. I've never seen anyone that had to do so many things to try to get rid of something. But what it is she's now supposed to be in remission, and hopefully it won't come back, hopefully. But, and he, my pastor is he would just have a fit if he thought I was saying this on the radio.
Well, we won't tell him.
No, he is the best, and I've tried to, he lives over in, I don't know where, you're not too far, but I've tried to
better not say that on the air.
Oh, okay.
We won't out him on the air.
Okay.
But
because I'm trying to get him to, because you would like him, and he funny. Oh yes, he has lots of things to be laughing about. We're always laughing about something. But he's a dedicated man, if ever I have known one, and I won't tell you his name, and then he'll be safe. You know.
Well, there you go. Would you ask him if he wants to? He could feel free to call in.
Yeah, and I need to do that. I mean, because I've told him two or three times. And well, like I say, she is just going. Yesterday, he told me, he said, well, she's a school teacher, but of course she can't teach school right now. But he said all her friends brought her all this stuff. And because this has gone on for like 5 months. Well, I mean, I know you know about that kind of thing. And so I have a little experience in that. Yeah, I think so. One of the things they brought her, though, was a puzzle that had 1,000 pieces. And she said, oh. She wasn't too impressed with a 1,000-piece puzzle. But, I mean, well, she gets around and everything, but she's still got a feeding tube, and she's got to gain her weight back. But these are two people that...
Well, I could give her some tips on gaining her weight back. Because Lord knows I haven't struggled in that area of gaining weight back. I mean, at one point, I really tried to, because that's a chapter in one of my books was excessive weight gain. We caregivers gain a lot of weight, and I got so big one time my picture fell off the wall. I mean, you know, it'll happen. Oh, I'm just, but it's you let him know about the show. Tell him you've talked about him on the show, but you didn't mention his name. But he's welcome to call in, and I'd love to hear from him. And surely
you would love him. He's your kind of man, I guarantee.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Shirley. I'm sorry to hear that.
And I mean, he is a dedicated man, if ever there was one. And so, okay, well, I don't need to take any more of your time right now.
Well, you are a delight, and it means a lot that you're out there listening, and keep, you know what, if you can't volunteer at hospice like you've been doing all this stuff, these callers that call in are dealing with all kinds of different things. Shirley, would you just remind yourself and let everybody, and please just keep praying for them, because I know that that's on your heart, and you know the journey, you did it, and you have the heart of ministry, and just keep praying for them by name as they call in. And because this is the whole point of us doing this show, is to build this community so caregivers know that their names are important too. You know, we lose
That's
our
right.
identity as caregivers.
And well, when my husband was living, we spent part of 40-some years in southeast Kentucky, and he was a builder, and that was a life change.
That's beautiful country over there. That's beautiful country over there.
It is. And my friend has... Both of her legs amputated. She has 10 children, and they're all 10 still living. But okay,
well, I remember
you
telling me about that. But by the way, make sure that your friend knows that the family knows that we recycle prosthetic limbs. You've heard Gracie's story, and we have an outreach over West Africa. So if they have an older limb that they don't use, we'll take it.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that, but I will, because I'll probably talk to her today. But I mean, her grandson said, "Let's go for a walk, Mama." He said, "She said, well, I only have one leg." He said, "No, there's another one in the other room."
Well, these are familiar conversations to me, and I remember when there was a deer out in our yard one time when we lived in Nashville, and our oldest son was a little boy. And he comes running in there and says, "Mom, get your leg on." This is when she was a single amputee. "Mom, get your leg on. You got to come see this." So, you know, you learn to just, it's just life. It's just life. And, but thank you so much for calling that. And if anybody wants to, Shirley, I appreciate your call. If anybody wants to donate a used limb, it's very easy. Go out to standingwithhope.com, and you'll see the tab there for the prosthetic limb outreach. It goes to a prison in Arizona, where inmates disassemble the legs for us, and we take the parts that we can use and recycle them and send them over to West Africa, and it goes to helping someone else walk. You give the gift that keeps on walking. How about that? All right, did I leave you better than I found you? Did I leave you better than I found you? Psalm 126:1-3. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are joyful. Give him the glory, great things he has done, as Fanny Crosby said. He has done great things, and we can be joyful even in the midst of very difficult, painful things that we live with as a caregiver. That's the whole point of this show. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Go to hopeforthecaregiver.com for more information. We'll see you next week.
This is John Butler, and I produce Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Some of you know the remarkable story of Peter's wife, Gracie. And recently, Peter talked to Gracie about all the wonderful things that have emerged from her difficult journey. Take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling. You see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms. Everything. When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry. Because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected, that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.
One of our generous sponsors here at the Truth Network has come under fire. Fire from the enemy. Fire for standing up for family values. Actually, one of the biggest supporters of the movie Unplanned that talked about the horrors of abortion. Yes, it's Mike Lindell. You've heard me talk about his pillows for a long, long time, and no doubt big business is responding to Mike Lindell and all this generosity for causes for the kingdom by trying to shut down his business. You can't buy his pillows at Kohl's anymore. You can't get them on Amazon. Or you can't get them at Costco. They're attempting to close his business because he stood up for kingdom values. What a chance to respond, especially if you need a pillow. Oh, I've had mine now for years and years and years and still fluffs up as wonderful as ever. Queen size pillows are just $29.98. Be sure and use the promo code TRUTH. Or call 1-800-944-5396. That's 1-800-944-5396. Use the promo code TRUTH. For values on any MyPillow product to support truth.